قافلہ حق کا ہے تیار اور ہم لے کے چلو قافلہ حق کا ہے تیار اور ہم لے کے چلو
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین حبیب الہ العالمین ابی القاسم محمد صلی علی محمد وعلی آلہ الطیبین الطاہرین سیما بقیۃ اللہ فی الارضین قال اللہ تعالی فی کتابہ الکریم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ونريد ان نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الارض ونجعلهم ائمه ونجعلهم الوارثين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه starting with hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity, this blessing to be in the name of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and in the name of especially Bibi Fatima Masuma salamullahi alayha, to thank Allah for this blessing. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faradum. For the last 2 days we were discussing how the system in Islam works and the rules which are governing our life to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In my opinion, a problem which comes in front of us regarding our community, we know a lot about Islam, but rarely we know the connection between different aspects of Islam. For example, how if you pray, it connects with the social teachings of Islam, and how your personal devotion to Islam work for the community. So we have seen a lot, and this is very common in countries like Pakistan, traditional Muslim countries, that a person is very good for his prayers, very good for his fastings, very good in his rituals, but when you talk about his character in the society, you don't see the impact which has to be there. So something is missing, and that missing part is become larger and larger, and this is one of the reasons that we could not attract people to our religion. Because what I could understand from my experience, that if you want to sell something, you have to have productivity, you have to have efficiency. So if you want to sell Islam in the meaning, then prove its efficiency, prove its productivity. Just being in a place, a big gathering, or the last thing is building, it's not going to work for anyone. And a very good example is the society in UK. So I usually say that if buildings could save a religion, then UK would have been all Christian right now. But unfortunately, what happened that last year, after around 1500 years, UK lost the title of having majority of Christian people, and now the majority is atheist. And every corner of this country has a big church. So can buildings save a religion? No. If you were 100 years back in UK, every church was full. Every church. So 100 years back, could anyone say, looking at the gathering of people, their devotion, the money being collected, the buildings being raised, that in 100 years they will lose this? No one could imagine. But it happened. Now, must be a lot of reasons behind that. Must be a lot of research needed and already done. So what are the main points? I think main point is disconnection of religion from a person's life. If you can't prove it that you are productive, then you will lose it. Yes. So Isn't it that the same thing is happening with Islam? That slowly and gradually we are losing the title of, you know, the productive religion to a more ritualistic religion. And this is the fear, that you can't live in an island. You are living in a society, you are living with all other human beings, they have their experiences. And for example, for the last 400 years, the experience of Renaissance should have given us lessons. Yes, it should have given us. And how it started, this is important, I think. How it started. So, just to start with, I'll give a point. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil fard. A scholar in Iran, Dr. Haddad Adil, he has a certain depth in his studies, and he wrote a book about the change in dressing and change in appearance of societies. So he looked upon the change in the Western world, and he pointed a very important point, and he said that sculptures and pictures of Bibi Maryam, Salamullahi alayha, before Renaissance, and sculptures and pictures of Jesus, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, before Renaissance, are quite different from that after Renaissance. How it happened? Before Renaissance, if you had a picture of Bibi Maryam, Salamullahi alayha, she was a simple woman wearing a hijab, and there was a light, a circle of light on her head, and there was no beauty on the face. It was almost as a simple, very simple face. You can say anything. But after Renaissance, she became beautiful. Dress become less, you know, plain. It was more complicated. And the circle is altogether gone. So what happened? Materialism added in even the pictures of prophets. And the best example, if you have seen, or you have visited, or you have read, is the statue of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam by Michelangelo. All naked. Could that happen 100 years back at that time? No, never. But it happened. And it started from, for example, Italy, Florence, and this, and then spread all over the world, actually. Now, this is a religion which was non-materialistic before Renaissance, became materialistic after Renaissance, and this is the, you can say, phenomena which you are dealing with, unfortunately, in Islam. Same thing is happening here. What and why I'm saying that? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. Sometimes I say, people don't respect Maulana. They respect popular Maulana. This is my observation, that they don't respect taqwa. They respect the fame behind Maulana. So, isn't it materialism? Yes, this is happening. Sallu ala Muhammad. Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. So this is how it's happening. Now, if you wanted to come back to the original religion, which should be, then what should be our source? Why? Because if you follow the trend in the society, the trend is materialistic. So the more you go there, the more you are going or moving away from the true sense or the true reality of religion. Now, what we can do, can I go to the depth of the religion? Sometimes I give an example which might not be very good, but it works. In one of the experts of cricket, and he said, if you are facing a team which is very experienced, what you should do? For example, a batsman is facing a bowler who is very experienced. what that is batsman should do. He said, don't make any complication. Don't do anything. Just keep your bat straight. Why? Because if you play complicated, the bowler is very senior. He know more complication from you than you, then he will give you something which you can't deal. So what should be the right way to deal? Keep your bat straight. You can play. Now, in our religion, what I will say? I will say, go to the basics. This is a complicated society. We are losing our efficiency, our productivity. We are losing the interest of our generation in our religion. Now, all these are documented, proved by statistics. Loss of our generation in Western societies, especially in Canada. I have searched it, proved it. I have the statistics. In three generations, it is more than 70%. Our dropouts are more than 70% in three generations. There's a big gap. I went to a community in a Christian community, Amish, or the other one in America, and I talk about them, how many people they drop in the process of religions. In three religions, their dropout was 25%. In ours, it's more than 70%. And are they complicated? No, they're very simple. And all of us know that they are so simple. They don't use, for example, mobile phones. They don't use cars. They go back to the horses and they have their own homes, very simple homes. Now, how they could survive? And when we say to our children or we tell them, don't use mobile in your masjid, and he feel offended. Then I will do that. Why you are depriving me? And if we go there to their community, they don't have mobiles. They don't have cars. But their dropout is only 25% in three generations. Now, what are the basics? What are the foundations? So, in my understanding, what we are doing, we are moving in our religion. And in my opinion, we have done PhD, but we lost the initial stages. And that's why we lost our productivity. How to come back? How to come back to the basics? So, when I study Islam, I sometimes prefer to go back to the basics, tell them that you should start from here, not from anywhere else. So, in our childhood or at the time when we were growing up, if we meet someone, an alim, they will start from beard, they will start from music, don't listen to music. But I think it's not the right point. So what I would suggest three qualities. These three qualities can be a very good and necessary starting point. And I will explain quickly. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. I thought about that. So that was a very simple question. Where to start? But and I identified two qualities, but later on I realized that no, this is not the first step. The first step is even earlier than those two qualities. So what is the first quality? I'm not talking about rituals, I'm not talking about zikr, I'm not talking about participation, anything. I'm a good teacher, you know, I told you. So what should be the starting point? Kindness. Why? I have two verses from Holy Quran which tells me that the starting point should be kindness. In the Holy Quran, Allah says, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has written kindness on himself. And what it means? If there is a collision between kindness and adl, kindness is preferred. When the Holy Prophet was sent to this world, he was given a title by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So, in my opinion, if we are Muslims and we are working to achieve a status in Islam, then the starting point should be kindness. This is where we should start. And this kindness is not limited to a human being being kind to a human being. Should extend to animals, should extend to the nature, and even the plants. This kindness should be there. Because kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comprehensive. And no one was spared. So, I think this is the right starting point. So before teaching my child how to pray, before teaching my child how to make wudu, I would like to teach them that please be kind to yourself, other human being. There are three relationships. Number one, a person's relationship with himself, a person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person's relationship with anything else. How kainat. So kindness should be there. That should be the starting point. And if you feel someone, or myself, I will tell about myself, if I pray a lot, for example, 51 rakah every day, and I do a lot of zikr, but I'm missing kindness. What it means? It means that these prayers and ibadat are not producing anything in myself. I could not keep myself on the right path. So kindness is the starting point, and then we have two major qualities. And the Holy Prophet was titled with those two qualities. The other one is Sadiq and Amin. So, truthfulness and trustworthiness. If we have these three qualities in ourselves, or we are working on these qualities, that we are kind and we are trying to be kind, and we are Sadiq, or improving our sadaqah, and we are trustworthy and improving our trustworthiness, then I think every prayer can work. Every ibadah can give us benefit. And there are riwayat which says that without fundamentals, you will not get benefit from ibadah. I think these are the fundamentals. So these three qualities, kindness, sadaqah, rahmah, sadaqah, and amana. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. صلى على محمد آل محمد وعجل فرج. So this is the starting point. Now, maybe someone asked me that, Maulana, leave the starting point. We are gone beyond that. We are on the higher status. We are talking about children. So, what is the highest status in Islam? Starting with these three qualities. What is the highest status? For example, is muttaqi is the highest status? Or muhsineen is the highest status? What I could search, I think salihin is the highest status. Even Prophet Ibrahim was said, وَكَانَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He was from salihin. So salihin is the highest rank where a Muslim or Muslimah can reach. Now, I have a tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa achil faraja. Which says that if pupil could leave five qualities, bad qualities, for example, all of them were salihin. All of them. Now, if someone asks me, how many salihin you have in Pakistan? About 240 million. I don't think it will be a good number. But Imam says that you work on five negative qualities, remove them from yourself, and all the humanity will be salihin. So, giving the starting point, rahmah, sadaqa, and amana, I would like to work on these five negative qualities. So if I could remove them from myself, Imam said, you will be salih. You will be counted as salih, which is the highest rank in Islam. And I will try to explain this. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraj. Imam said, lawla khamsu khisalin lasara nas kulluhum salihin. If there were not five qualities, all the humanity would be salihin. Abaluha al-qana'atu bil-jahl. That they are satisfied with their ignorance. They don't know and they are satisfied. They say, okay, we are good. Even if we know that, we don't know, but we are good. Imam said, Al-qana'atu bil-jahl is the barrier in a person's life to become a good person. So what should be the against that? Should be against that? Talabul ilm. So there is ilm and there is jahala. Now what is ilm? That is another point. And I think we mentioned that yesterday or day before yesterday, that ilm is not the one which can be studied from books. According to the tradition from our sixth Imam, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. When he said, Laysa al-ilm bit-ta'alimi wa ta'allum, ilm is not through learning and teaching, bal huwa nurun yaghzifuhullah ala qalbi man yasha. But that is the enlightenment which Allah reflects on the qalb. I don't want to translate into heart. To the qalb of someone whom he wishes to reflect. So, ilm should not be misunderstood by learning through, books. Imam said, no, it is enlightenment. And that enlightenment, how it comes? I want to explain the relationship. There is a tradition from Amirul Mu'mineen, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil Farajam. And yesterday we also mentioned, Talabtu Nur al Qalb fa wajadtuhu fit tafakkuri wal buka, from sixth Imam. He said, I wish to have enlightenment and nur in my qalb, and I found that in thinking. No, just not just thinking, more than thinking, pondering on the depth. The depth of meaning of life and purpose of life, and giriya, buka. So someone cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam said, this is how his qalb can be enlightened. The Imam said, al-buka min khashyatillah yuneerul qalb. If someone cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his khashya, from the fear, not the fear that meaning, then it enlightens or give light to the qalb. So I'm going back to that tradition. Number one, Imam said, Al-qana'atu bil-jahl. If people are satisfied with their jahl, ignorance, this is a barrier. They can't become solid. They have to go for knowledge, ilm. And what is ilm and what is qalb? We just mentioned. Second one, wal-hirs ala dunya. Greed on this world, attachment to this world. The more a person attached to this world, he become less likely to become salih. So it's a barrier. Imam said, first one is satisfaction, being satisfied on not knowing the truth or reality. And the second one is greed and attachment with this world. This attachment is, I think, very deceiving. We can't ignore this dunya. We have to live in this dunya. We have to have earning. We have to have some facilities for us, but without attachment. And this is a test, naturally. If you live in this world and you have your necessities and your facilities, so slowly and gradually we become attached to this. It becomes our habit to have this. Now, if someone asks us that leave this, which you have for all every aspect of your life, or all whenever you live, can you leave this world without feeling grief, without feeling being deprived? That is the test. So second one is greed ala dunya. This another tradition which just came into my mind, and Imam said, you can't be salih until it become easy for you that you ignore the whole mankind going against you if you feel that you are on the right path. That much unattached with the world. This type of, you see, freedom in the right meaning, freedom, not the freedom which people refer usually this freedom, and that type of free person is needed. So greed on the world is a barrier. Third one is very strange. I mean, in a sense, it says, وَشُوْ بِالْفَضْلِ, holding the extra, not giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the cause of Allah, the extras. So, if someone has extras, and everyone can define what is extra, and then even in his extras, he hold that and not giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam said, no, he can't become solid. It's a barrier. And this is how we plan. How much extra we can hold. So, in my opinion, collision between cultures is not the collision of languages or colors or dressings. No. It's the ideology, material or non-material. That is the true conflict of cultures and civilizations. So, sometimes people refer to clash of civilizations as being Chinese or Muslim, Western or Islamic. No, I think the clash of civilization is not in geography. Clash of civilization is not in languages. Clash of civilization in this mentality of being material or free of attachment from materialism. That's the true point. Third one is washuh bil bukhl, that washuh bil fazl, that even the extras in their extra, they don't want to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a barrier. And the fourth one is arriya fil amal, show off. With this show off, now we can't become salih. And when I say we or I, usually the whole society. If a society has a habit of ignorance, greed on the world, and not giving away even the extras in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a society has a habit of show off, then can we say this is a group of salihin? No, never. And the fifth one is wal-ijab bir-ray, that a type of ignorance, arrogance on their opinion. They say, we said that and that's it. We are not going to listen to anyone. Now this ijab bir-ray, that our opinion is the final one, we are the best. Oh no, this is the barrier. So Imam said, leave five qualities, bad qualities, and all of you become salih, which I said the highest rank. And the five qualities are al-qana'atu bil-jahl, being satisfied on ignorance, wal-hirs ala dunya, that greed on this world, wal-shuh bil-fazl, holding the extras, not giving in the cause of Allah, wal-riya fil-amal, show off in the action, and ijab bil-ray, and arrogance to their opinion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad wa ajil. Yesterday we mentioned a tradition, a hadith, which gives a lot of rules, regulation, how to achieve something. So just one sentence I mentioned today, talabtu nur al-qalb fa wajadtu fi at-tafakkuri wal-buka, that I wish to have enlightenment in my qalb, and that enlightenment could be achieved from thinking, pondering upon the purpose of life and the creation, and buka, to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But are there other rules in the tradition which can be adopted in our life? As a student, I always try to find rules in the traditions. That rules should be there. Just for example, if I want to be happy or satisfied or peacefulness, I want to have peacefulness in my mind, in my inner self, should I go to non-believers and they teach us how to be satisfied? Or the religion should help me? Religion tells me that how to be satisfied. If you go to worldly people, they will say, earn more, spend more, have luxuries, you will have satisfaction. But we know it never works. We know it never works. Ya rahmukumullah. In America, states, every day, more than 300 people die from overdose of narcotics or addictions. Every day. Now, they are not poor. They are earning more than the average ones, because these are not very, cheap to have these type of substance in your hand. So they are overdosing it, dying it every day, more than 300%. Now, in my opinion, if that was effective, then why it's not working for them? So, can Allah give me peace, or can my religion give me peace? There is a tradition which gives a masterpiece, in my opinion. So I search for rules and regulations, how to have happiness, how to have feeling of being, rich in myself. I saw a tradition. That tradition, in my opinion, is the master key for everything. I would like to mention here, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Ali Muhammad. This tradition also from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. Imam said, Man taraka lillahi subhanahu shay'an awwazahu Allahu khayran mimma tarak. If someone leaves something or he abandons something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will replace that or reward him with better than that. Better than that. So, if someone tells me that you can have satisfaction in a sin, and if I try to avoid that sin, can I have satisfaction? As per this tradition, yes. If I leave something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He commanded me, Allah will bless me with better than that. This is how I think it works. So, if you want to get something, then give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will bless you more from that. Just an implementation. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil. I feel at this stage of my life that I have become old that much. What I do need right now? So I don't think I will have a list of my wish as a person of the age of 20-24. No, it will be different. So I would not like to add cars or homes in my wish. No, it is gone now. So what I would like to add now? The best thing which I would like to add is to have a few people who love me and I love them. I need those people in my surrounding. That is the best thing which I could have right now. So I know living alone in a very big, beautiful, luxurious home is not going to give me anything. Yes. So I need those types of people. Okay? And I need a type of source which could fulfill me in my time of need. So having a lot of money in my bank account, idle there, not working for me, should not be added in my list of wishes now. So what should be there? A source which could fulfill my needs when I need them. Second thing. And the third thing is a bit of respect in society. I don't want to become a king now. I don't want to become a president now. But isn't it that I need a respect? Yes, I need respect. So these are my list of wishes. Number one, I need a group of person who love me and I love them in my surrounding. Second one, a source which could fulfill me. I'm not talking about only money, any source. And the third one is a bit of respect. Don't want to be disrespected in this stage of life. So how can I achieve them? How can I achieve them? Is there any rule or master key? Yes. What I could understand, if you give something, when Allah asks you to give, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for show off, not for anything else, Allah returns you multiplied when you need them. This is how I would like to govern my life. So, I need kind people. Give kindness. Allah will bring back this kindness to you when you need them. Yes, you will face kindness. You will have kindness. So, if I need some source which could help me or fulfill me when I need it, so be a source of help for a few who are in need. Allah will give you a source at that time when you will be in need of that. Two, and the third one is, I need respect. So give respect. Not to those who already have respect and power in society. No, to those who don't have respect and power in society. That's why, and this is how I can trigger the rule, which says that you give something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will give you better than that. Yes. So the rule is here. I can trigger it for myself, good or bad. So if I showed arrogance, for example, in front of someone whom I thought at that time, for example, that yes, I'm better than him, and showed arrogance, what will be the result? In my time of need, I will have to face an arrogant person. Yes, I triggered something else. So, in my opinion, throughout our life, we are sending something for our future. This is how it's working. And it will come back to us. Now, when will it come back to us? In this world or that world? Both. It will come here, then it will come in Barzakh, then it will come back in Mahsha, then at Pulisarat, and then at every stage of life which we will have to face. And Imam said, إِنَّمَا خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْبَقَى لَا لِلْفَنَى وَخُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَى لَا لِلْدُّنْيَا إِنَّمَا تُنْقَلُونَ مِنْ دَارٍ إِلَى دَارٍ. You are not created to have end. You are created to live forever. But you will be transferred from one to the other. So if you trigger something, you are not triggering it for 30 years or 40 years. No. It will remain forever. It will remain forever. Good or bad. It's up to us. So in my opinion, having power, the popular or famous sentence, power corrupts. Yes, it corrupts. Not the power of politicians, even the power of a community member. Yes, it corrupts. So whenever you have power, remember, whatever you are sending, it will come back to you. Send good things, which is a good vibes. Yes, send kindness, send trustworthiness, send, for example, help to other, it will come back to you. And this is the easiest part of having blessings and help when you are in need of that. So no insurance can cover that, I know. And you know that. That there comes a time when everything is useless. Everything is useless. All the powers, all the money, all the fame even. You are very famous at that time. But what is the end? You lose it. And only thing which can work is this rule. Be good, kind, and then you will have kindness. That is the only point, I think. And this is how can you work on your community, your religion. This is the easiest part of tabligh. This is the easiest part of tabligh. If we could show to the others that we feel satisfied in our life, I think it will work way more than our buildings and our, for example, other phenomena. No. Having satisfaction, this is the key point in this world. You know, people are dying, not from heart attacks, not from cancers, not from tumors. The most killing disease in this world is anxiety and depression. Yes, absolutely against the peace and tranquility which you want and you can achieve through these simple rules. So don't be very complicated in your religion. I will suggest, don't be very complicated. Be simple. And sometimes the complication is needed. We have scholars for that. For myself, person like me, being simple is good. Yes, having kindness, sadaqah, amana, and sending good. That's enough. For myself, this is enough, inshaAllah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. No, for masaib, sometimes I try to avoid saying something which is depressing for myself sometimes, but a reality should be explained, I think. I was invited to a country where there were simultaneous program for Urdu and English, And I was on the Urdu side, and the other person, a learned scholar and a very good scholar, I personally believe in him, he was in the English side. And the guy who was dealing with me, actually he was on the English side, but he was also dealing with me as host. So I used to talk to him. A day he came to me and said, Maulana, yesterday I came to your masaib and people were crying in Urdu section. He said people were crying, and they were crying significantly. He said, I can observe that. Yes, there were tears in their eyes, crying. So I said, so is it something more than normal? That should be the case. When we do recite masaib, people should cry. He said, Maulana, I can guarantee you that I participate in the English session daily. It's my responsibility. I'm the part of management at that side. He said, I have observed that. I can guarantee you no one shed any tear in the English section. I said, are you 100% sure? He said, Maulana, I'm that sure. No one cry. So I said, when that scholar recite masaib, what they do? He said, they said, blow their head, and they said, just wait for the end. And the end, they will be straight, no cries, no tears. I said, this is not a good alarm. It's a bad alarm. Yeah. So we are losing it. Of course we are losing it. And the country is not, you know, a country which is in the other part of the world. No, a significantly good main country. A good population of our community was there. But no one was crying as per that guy. So, gentlemen, so what's happening, in my opinion, might be there is something in the culture, languages. I think languages differ in the how they transfer emotions. I think there is a problem. Some languages transfer the emotions or sentiments more precisely. They have depth. And some languages are not that perfect, I think. I think I'm not, as you have observed, English is not good for me. For myself, I will prefer Urdu. But I think English has lost this type of connection with the sentiments and emotions, I think. So I'm not saying that English was always that type of disconnection, had this type of disconnection. No, I think English had this connection, but now it has lost it. Meanings have changed. Though the words are similar, but they are changed. For example, fortune, the word fortune. In my childhood, fortune had a meaning. But now, fortune has another meaning. So I observed that. Yes, languages are changing. But Urdu, yes, it has kept its connection with the emotions. Why? You know how subcontinent is. People in subcontinent are more emotional. So, and we have a separate category in poetry just to express grief. And I don't think English have such richness in the transfer of emotions. Or I'm not aware of that. So, what to do? Go for the language which is weak in emotions, or with the language in Masaib especially, which is rich in emotions. I will go for Urdu. So, those who can't understand Urdu, Masaib in Urdu, I'm sorry, but let me go for Masaib in Urdu. Yes. It has depth. It has depth. It conveys something which English rarely convey. The scholar at that side was not a simple scholar. He was a very good scholar. That night, Aj, Bi Masuma Salamullah Alayha Saman Subrat, or Wasim Shan Bibi, Jinnone Apne Bhai Kiri Kurbaniyati. मैंने अंदाज़ा लगाया कि क्यों ऐसा होता है कि किसी रोज़े की बरकतें इतनी ज़्यादा होती हैं कि कोई मुकाबला नहीं हो पाता. तो मुझे अंदाज़ा हुआ कि जो अहले बैत के रोज़ों की बरकतें हैं वो उनकी ज़िंदगी की उस मसाइब की वजह से जो उन्होंने झेली हैं. और बीबी मासूमा सलामुल्लाह अलैहा इन माना में मज़लूम तरीन हस्तियों में से एक हस्ती. आप जानते हैं कि हमारे साथ में इमाम मुसा कादिम अलैहिस्सलाम, اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد. ان کی اولاد میں جو زیادہ تھیں, ان کی اولاد میں صرف امام رضا علیہ السلام کی اولاد ہوئی ہے. باقی کے بارے میں مشہور یہی ہے کہ کسی کی شادی نہیں ہوئی تھی, اور سب نے ان حالات کے سامنے اپنے آپ کو پیش کیا اور قربانیاں دیں, جن میں ایک بی بی فاطمہ معصومہ سلام اللہ علیہا. ہم مسلمان اہل بیت اطہار کی خواتین کے مقروض ہیں, ہم ان خواتین کے مقروض ہیں, چاہے وہ بی بی فاطمہ سلام اللہ علیہا ہوں, یا اگر میں شروع کروں بی بی خدیجہ کبریٰ سلام اللہ علیہا, یا بی بی سیدہ طاہرہ سلام اللہ علیہا, اور بی بی زینب کبریٰ سلام اللہ علیہا. ماہ محرم ہے, اور ماہ محرم کے یعنی ایام عزا ہیں, اور ایام عزا میں وہ ایام ہیں جب اہل بیت کا قافلہ مدینے واپس آ چکا ہے. میں صرف چند جملے بی بی زینب کبریٰ کے حوالے سے عرض کروں گا. جب آپ اس لمحے کو سوچتے ہیں جب بی بی طلعہ زینبیہ پہ تھیں اور بھائی ذبا ہو رہا تھا, یہ جگہ انسانی طاقت سے باہر تھی. بی بی طلعہ زینبیہ پہ وہ منظر دیکھ رہی تھیں جس میں سید الشہداء پشت گردن سے ذبح ہو رہے تھے. بی بی زینب نے بہت کچھ دیکھا ہے. بی بی زینب نے ایک منظر یہ دیکھا, اگر میں دوسرا منظر لاؤں تو میں وہ منظر لاؤں گا جب حسین کا اکیلا لاشا زمین کے اوپر تھا. ایک امام حسین کا لاشا تھا جو زمین پہ تھا اور پامال ہو رہا تھا. یہ دو منظر پیش کروں گا. اور اگر کوئی مجھ سے کہے مولانا کوئی تیسرا منظر بتائیے, تو میں وہ منظر کہوں گا جب بی بی زینب کبریٰ امام حسین کے لاشے پر پہنچی ہے اور ایک بچی کو لاشے کے اوپر دیکھا ہے. پوچھا بیٹی تم نے اس لاشے کو کیسے پہچانا؟ فرمایا بوپی اما میں یہاں سے گزر رہی تھی, لاشے میں سے آواز آئی الیا الیا یا بنیا, میری بچی تو میرے پاس آ جا. یہ بی بی زینب کبریٰ سلام اللہ علیہا. میں بی بی زینب کے مصائب پڑھتے پڑھتے اچانک میرا ذہن مولا امام زین العابدین کی طرف جاتا ہے.
بی زینب سلام اللہ علیہا کے مصائب میں جو بہت بڑا ایک معاملہ ہے, میں ایک جملہ صرف عرض کروں گا اور میں چاہ رہا ہوں دو جملے امام زین العابدین کے لیے عرض کروں. عزو مجھے آپ کو سب کو تجربہ ہے, جب ہم کسی کو میت کو دفناتے ہیں نا تو ہم لوگ صبر کر لیتے ہیں, کہیں نہ کہیں صبر کر لیتے ہیں, لیکن یہ صبر کب ٹوٹتا ہے؟ جب ہم گھروں کو واپس آتے ہیں. جب ہم گھروں کو واپس آتے ہیں نا تو گھر سے مرحوم کی یاد آتی ہے ہمیں, یا مرحومہ کی یاد آتی ہے, اس وقت ہمارا غم ٹوٹتا ہے. میں بس ایک جملہ کہوں گا, آج بی بی زینب اس گھر میں واپس آئی ہے جہاں انہیں محمد کی یاد آ رہی ہے. بی بی نے بہت صبر کیا. ایسا چونکہ ہم ایام عزا کے آخر میں ہیں اور میرا جیسا آدمی ظاہر طالب علم میں مجھے ایام عزا میں مختلف جگہوں پہ جانا ہوتا ہے, تو کبھی کبھی میں اپنے اندر سوچتا ہوں کہ ہم یہ جو ایام عزا میں مشغول ہیں, الحمدللہ رب العالمین اہل بیت اطہار علیہ السلام نے اس کے لیے قربانیاں دی ہیں جو ہم ایام عزا کے اندر مشغول ہیں, لیکن اگر آپ کو قربانی کا کوئی منظر دیکھنا ہو کہ کس نے قربانی دی ہے کہ ہم عزا کر پا رہے ہیں, تو عزو میں آپ کو دوبارہ پلٹاؤں گا 11 محرم کے دن پر. 11 محرم کا دن تھا جب قافلے اسرا جا رہا تھا, بی بی زینب لاش امام حسین پر تشریف لائیں تھیں, اس وقت اہل بیت اطہار کی خواتین نے سید الشہداء پہ ماتم کرنا شروع کیا تھا, گریا کرنا شروع کیا تھا. اب ہمارے پاس روایتوں کے مطابق یا شمر لعین تھا یا عمر سعد تھا, یہ مولا چوتھے امام کے پاس آتا ہے اور کہتا ہے سید سجاد بیویوں سے کہو ماتم ختم کرے اور آگے چلے. امام سجاد کیسے کہہ سکتے تھے کہ بیویاں ماتم نہ کریں, نوحہ نہ پڑھیں؟ امام سجاد خاموش رہے. عز و معذرت کے ساتھ اس لعین نے کوڑا امام کو مارا ہے. ہمارے پاس بعض روایت کے مطابق اس نے کوڑا مارا امام کو, امام کی کمر جھک گئی, اس نے ایک اور کوڑا مارا امام کو, امام خاموش رہے کچھ نہیں بولا. اس لعین نے بار بار کوڑا مارے امام زین العابدین علیہ السلام کو. بی بی زینب کبریٰ سلام اللہ علیہا نے یہ منظر گویا دیکھ لیا, وہ تشریف لائیں اور انہوں نے کہا سید سجاد تم ظلم مت سہو, ہم چلنے کو تیار ہیں. آپ کو پتا کیا جملہ کہا امام نے؟ امام نے کہا بھبی اماں آپ میرے بابا کے لاشے پہ ماتم کریں, میں کوڑے کھاؤں گا لیکن اپنے بابا کا ماتم کرواؤں گا. یہ جو میں اور آپ بیٹھے ہیں یہاں پر ذکر امام حسین کر رہے ہیں, اس کے لیے امام زین العابدین نے کوڑے کھائے ہیں, اس کے لیے اپنے جسم پہ زنجیریں برداشت کی ہیں, اس کے لیے ان کا خون کربلا سے لے کے شام تک بہتا رہا ہے. علی لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین وسيعلم الذين ظلموا ايام قلب ينقلبون. خدا وندہ تجھے واسطہ ان آنسوؤں کا ہے پاک پروردگار, تجھے مولا امام زین العابدین کے ان زخموں کا جو زنجیروں سے لگے تھے پاک پروردگار, ان کے وارث کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہمیں ان کے وارث کی نصرت کی سعادت نصیب فرما. مجاہدین اسلام کو جو دنیا میں جا کہیں بھی اہل بیت اطہار کے چاہنے والے جہاد میں مشغول ہیں, فتح و نصرت نصیب فرما. ان کے دشمنوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. اے پاک پروردگار ہمیں اسی دنیا کے اندر امام کے ظہور کا دن دیکھنا نصیب فرما, ان کی نصرت کی راہ میں شہادت نصیب فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ نبیک و اطرته الطاہرین ماتم حسین.